Sermon at Armadale. Armadale, Melbourne, Australia, October 19, 1895.
When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. John 4, verse 1-6. The King of Heaven, the majesty of glory, clothed his divinity with humanity and came into this world. That humanity, while divinity laid hold upon the throne of God in behalf of these human agents. That Christ came to save, that they should not perish. Behold his humiliation, for he is weary as a man is weary. There was sorrow in his heart, as he sought to roll back the clouds of moral darkness that enveloped this world, because those whom he came to save knew not him whom God had sent. If they had only understood Christ, if they had only become acquainted with him, the light that he came to bring would have scattered the darkness, which, like the pall of death, hung over the people. And it was because they did not appreciate their privileges that the people did not seek Christ, to make him first and last and best in everything. Our Savior was weary. He who was the commander of all heaven felt weary. And can we then complain of weariness? We shall be oft weary, but we should not faint nor be discouraged. There is restfulness in Jesus Christ. In him we shall find peace that passeth understanding. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verses 6-10. And this message is meant for us just as surely as for the woman of Samaria. It comes sounding down along the line from age to age. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 10. Rivet this in your minds. Every soul should awaken to an understanding of his spiritual need. Matthew 5, verse 6. Come to Christ in your soul hunger and thirst, and he will supply every want, whether temporal or spiritual. If thou knewest the gift of God. How very many there are that know not the gift of God. They talk of the truth, they talk of heaven and of religion, they talk of faith, but they know it not. They have not an experimental knowledge what faith means, or what it is to trust God, of what it is to drink of the living water of life day by day. Are there any here in this assembly that are thirsting for the living water, and feel, Oh, that I might find it! I look to the right, and it is not there. I seek it to the left, and I find it not. I look before me,
and behind me, and yet I cannot find my Savior. Do you want to know how to find Him? Come to Him just as needy and dependent as you are, in the simplicity of a little child, in all the confidence that a child has in its parents, and ask your Savior to pity you in your great necessity. Tell Him that you want the water of salvation. Do not seek for the amusements of this world for help. Come to the Lord Jesus and tell Him that you thirst and that you want the water of life. Unless we shall drink of the water that Christ gives, we cannot improve our own situation or of those that are around us. Only by being supplied by that grace which Jesus Christ can give us and is longing to bestow upon us will the necessities of the souls that are ready to perish be met.
It was not because this woman was a Samaritan that she did not know Christ, for He came to save the Samaritans as well as the Jews. With Him, there is no caste or specially favored people. He came to take away the sins of the world. This He is willing to do for all, Jew or Gentile. And this we must have done for us before we can enter heaven. We must let Him take away our sins, because in Him was no sin. He is our sin-bearer. Some of you may feel, while here upon the campground, that things do not go just exactly to your mind. You fret over the matter, and you may want to unburden your mind to someone and put them on the anxious seat also. They will repeat your words to others, and the first thing we know, the camp is leavened with something. We hardly know what. Let us be careful what we say. The seed that drops from one mind into another should be the most precious seed, not a seed of murmuring and complaint. We do not want that here, for we have come to seek the Lord and to put away all repining and fault-finding. We have come here to the water of life. We must not begin to let jealousy and evil surmisings come in. Let this be a place where God and His angels can walk, where the light of heaven can shine upon us and impart to us rays from the throne of God. We have darkness enough. Let us be careful not to communicate darkness to another mind. Catch the divine rays of light from heaven and flash them upon the pathway of others. I know there are many here who are discouraged, many who are tempted by the enemy, and who will be in danger of yielding. But for this, there is a remedy. When Christ left this earth, He gave to us a legacy, not of gold, not of silver, not of real estate. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." John 14, verse 27. This is the gift that cometh down from heaven. His peace He leaves with those who will accept it. Let us walk in the footsteps of Jesus in order that the Holy Spirit, which is the representative of Christ, may be our counselor to guide us in every perplexity. In your trouble, go to the Lord in prayer. He knows every one of us by name, and He knows all our temptation. If we come to Him in our perplexity and say, "Lord, I cast my helpless soul upon Thee. I want Thy help." You will help. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, "Give me to drink," thou wouldst have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. John 4, verse 10. Today, each one of us needs that living water. We should not let the sun set in the heavens tonight, or let the holy influence God has placed over the Sabbath pass away, till we understand that we can drink of the water of life. Pray for it with all your heart, your intelligence, and your strength. Christ has opened a fountain in which we can be washed free from every stain. His blood, shed upon Calvary's cross, gives virtue to the fountain. Have we not something to pray for? "If you are hungry or thirsty, do not hang your souls upon humanity. We must be supported by Christ." I am so thankful that we can grasp the promises by living faith and hold Him so that we can say with Jacob, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Do you think if we were to say that Christ would tear Himself away? No, indeed, He never will do this. Just as soon as Peter cried out, "Lord, save me, I perish," the Lord was there to support him. And Christ reproved him for his lack of faith. What we all want is to take Christ at His word and believe that He will do exactly as He has promised. But you say, "I originate faith." No, faith is the gift of God, and every soul that has true faith, the living fire of God's own kindling. The human being is to look to God and lay hold of His promises by living faith. God will hold and protect us and keep us from falling. We will then be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If a parent were to promise a child some gift, and then, when the child came to him for the favor, he were to fail in the fulfillment of his promise, he would certainly fail in his duty. God understands a parent's duty, and when we come to Him in faith, He will fulfill to us His promises. We want to have a faith that does not remain rolled up and hidden, but faith that works by love and purifies the soul, working constantly to cleanse away every moral impurity from the being. We want a faith that depends upon the power of God.
The world is watching to catch every mind, that it shall be interested in cheap, forbidden amusements. Whatever may be your business, for God has His carpenters and farmers, lawyers, judges, and juries, and He has every branch under His supervision. He does not ask you to go into any business where you will not be able to serve Him with your whole heart and mind and soul and strength. He does not want your business to eclipse Jesus from your view. If you cannot work at your business and serve and glorify God, then give up that kind of business and work where God can bless you, that His joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full, because you are connected with Jesus, because you walk with God. When Enoch walked with God, he found satisfying company. There is fullness in Jesus, and when you are constantly learning of Him, the water of life will be given you in a living current from Jesus. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. John 4, verse 14. The water that Christ gives us is a living wellspring that never fails. The woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Verse 15. She had no understanding that the water to which Jesus referred was, Christ can supply the temporal necessities, but then He was speaking of the spiritual necessities. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. This is the same as the sacred fire that God His people anciently. They were to put this sacred fire on the censers to be offered when the prayers of the people ascended to God, that its fragrance might go up before God with the prayers. We must have an insight into what Christ is to us, and we are to Him. Every day we need the water of life which Christ has to give. He does not give it one day and then wait till there is a drought. The water which He gives is a living wellspring. Whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life.
Verse 14. How precious it is to know that every one of us may be partakers of the divine nature. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. John 6, verse 27. If there is which endureth through the eternal ages, do we not want it? Do we not want the knowledge which will teach us what that meat is? We do not leave behind the experience we obtain here in heavenly things. We take it with us. Those who shall partake of the bread of life which the Father gives us shall find joy in Jesus Christ. Precious intelligence, that we can live upon this, even though circumstances change. Let trouble and difficulty come, and we do not sink under them, because we have a living connection with Jesus Christ, and He supplies all our necessities. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? John 6, verse 28. Is the answer in any of your minds? Listen to what Jesus says. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. This is the love of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. John 6, verse 29. Our faith must take right hold of Jesus Christ, and he will supply all our spiritual necessities, so that we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, and have our souls linked to the heart of infinite love. If the rich stream of his salvation flows to us, it will be in us a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The water Christ gives does not lie like a pool of stagnant water. If we are possessed of his love, those around will see that we have been with Christ. Acts 4, verse 13. And out of our abundance, we will be able to help those around us who shall come asking help. In us, there will be a wellspring, out of which will flow a current of love from Jesus Christ. Jesus wants us to bless those around us and so be laborers together with God. We are frustrating the purpose of God unless His love flows from us, imparting its healing vigor to others. Our probation will close ere long, and we want the water of life. What shall we do? Believe on him whom God has sent.
They said therefore unto him, What sign shewest thou? And that day he had fed 5,000 with only a few loaves and fishes. John 6, verse 30. And yet they asked for a sign. We have had evidence upon evidence of what Christ is doing for us and what he has done. Take his life and study it. That is the bread of life. Ponder over his matchless love in laying off his royal robes and kingly crown, and coming to this world to work among those who were seared and marred with the curse. For our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Are you improving your opportunities and laying up in heaven a treasure that faileth not? Are you seeking to perfect a Christian character through the grace of Jesus Christ? Everyone here has had heaven brought within his reach. All heaven, its blessings, its advantages, its privileges, has been offered to us that we might be fitted for the mansions that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. John has promised to come again and receive us unto himself. All we have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive his grace into our hearts. You cannot be your own sin-bearer. Christ Jesus will cleanse us from all moral and spiritual defilement. Take right hold of him and do not let him go. If the enemy tells you that you are a sinner, tell him that you know that you are, and that is why you are.
If he tells you that Jesus will not hear you, say, "Yes, he will," not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If in any business you are surrounded with drinkers and smokers, begin to talk to them of the blessed hope. This you will do if the water of life. We are God's witnesses in this earth, and we have a testimony to bear to the world. We are Christ's representatives to show what the truth can do for humanity. Teach them that you believe in Christ, and that everyone who believes in Him works on His principles. He is working constantly that humanity shall receive the gift of God, and we are to cooperate with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. When you believe on Jesus Christ, when you have hold of Jesus Christ by a firm grip, you can look forward to eternal life. Our faith will enter then within the veil, and He has left with us His Holy Spirit to enable us to have that living faith that shall fasten upon the promises. And then we will not despair, but our souls will be filled with hope and courage. Satan's temptations will come, but our faith will reach hold of that which is within the veil. Our faith will be stronger than the temptation, an anchor to the soul both sure and steadfast, and therefore we will be able to impart the heavenly blessings to those around us. I thank God that there are many in our world that have not bowed the knee to Baal since they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not afraid to trust their souls to Him, and He will clothe them with His righteousness. Then said they unto Him, "What sign shewest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What dost Thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They had their eyes fixed upon Moses instead of upon Christ. They were sitting in Moses' seat, and supposed that they were communicating the light and truth that the people should have. But Jesus said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Through the wanderings of the children of Israel, Christ was their beneficent friend, and He is yours today. You must regard Him thus. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. John 6, verse 30-33. Talk of Jesus every day. He loves us with a love that is beyond knowledge. We cannot explain it, but we can realize its effects. We may talk always of the love of God, and yet we only just make a beginning. It will take all eternity to reveal its fullness.
For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3, verse 17. And our work is not to condemn. If we want to let light into the mind, declare, "It is written." Have the chambers of your mind bright with the light from the Holy Scriptures, and frame memory's hall with the promises of God. Repeat over and over what Christ has done for you. It is as seed sown that will spring up and bear fruit. He that believeth on Christ is not condemned, because we have a faith that takes hold of the Savior that died on Calvary's cross. He that believeth is not condemned. But believing does not mean to go to meeting once a week and believe. It means to believe every day, and all the day, all the way, from here to heaven. Believe on Him today, right where you are. Say to Him, "Lord, I believe. Take me, and cleanse my heart from all impurity. Give me Thy robe of righteousness, a robe woven in the loom of heaven without a thread of humanity in it, a robe that is divine."
God help us that we may believe on Christ. Let everyone that is drinking of the water of life feel that he has a special work to do in imparting to those around him the words of Christ. They are spirit, and they are life. We want the richest blessings of God to come upon us during this meeting, and we want to carry his blessing away with us. We must seek God for ourselves. We must plead with him alone if we have to go by the seaside in the early morning. Christ, the early hours for prayer, that he might commune with God. And we need communication with God also. We need the strength that comes from him alone, that we may be as a light that shineth in a dark place. Then we will win souls for God. Let us, during this meeting, put away everything that has a tendency to fault-finding or complaint. Let us have in our hearts the peace of God as a living, abiding principle. Praise God, because he is the tree of life from which we can eat. Praise him, because he is the water of salvation from which we can drink. Next